that okay? What fascinated you about George, exactly?
How did you ever see George perform?
No, I didn't.
Well, then you wouldn't be asking me, that's why you asked that question. Anyone who saw George perform realised his magic at once. He was louche, extremely funny, sexy. The young Mick Jagger was influenced by the way he moved on the stage. He could move you to tears, move you to laughter, just like that. He was a magical, magical performer. He was also a great writer on art, an authority on surrealism, a TV critic, a great fisherman. I mean, he was I think it's called a polymath.
Polymath, yeah.
I mean, all these things. But above all, he was an exotic creature, unlike anyone I'd met before, or ever likely to meet again. I mean, he's left this huge hole in my life. He's one of my closest friends. And he's irreplaceable. So you don't meet people full of that much colour in every kind of way, from what he wore to his sort of adventurous spirit. He always cut through any crack, cut through any pretense, any pomposity, any hypocrisy, anything like that, rather like Oscar Wilde. And what I'm very pleased about in this exhibition is what the one or two people that have been in so far who work in the gallery have said, wow, the colour. And so what I'm really pleased with in this room, I think it really does feel that we're surrounded by the colours of George. And that's very important to me. And it's the colours that went across from my George paintings into the waterfall paintings and throughout and into that wave, that evening wave that is crashing over there, which I think works very well with that last painting of George alive. But he was very ill, dying of cancer, refusing to be treated for it, still smoking, still drinking, and rolling around in his frock with everything showing, and performing and telling me about his role of Christ in the forthcoming film of The Life of Christ. He'd grown a ghastly beard, specially chosen from a terrible Pre-Raphaelite painting. He's very fond of Pre-Raphaelites, largely because he grew up in Liverpool and this place is full of them. I can't stand them myself, but he had chosen a specific Jesus beard from a Pre-Raphaelite painting and grown it ready for his forthcoming role, you see. And I'm a bit slow coming from Suffolk. It wasn't until 2 months afterwards I realised that, of course, he knew he was dying, he knew he was going up to meet his father, so naturally he wanted the star leading role of Jesus.
So was he religious then? Because I noticed some of your titles reference God and heaven and
oh, yes,
ghosts.
Well, it's all a bit of a joke. Right, I mean, the painting up there, George inspecting heaven, still with a glass of whiskey at his side and still the cigarette. I mean, we hope for the best. None of us know what's going to happen, you know, do we? That's the great adventure and the great mystery. And so a lot of these paintings are sort of actually optimistic about what might happen, that George might be somewhere with still his whiskey and his cigarette. And there was a magical moment during the hanging on Tuesday when, for some reason, that big head of George, the Good Time George painting there, yeah. For some reason, with these wonderful working team here, the hanging team, I just couldn't get it straight on the wall, right? Because as we know, George was both ways. But anyway, that painting was poised in a bent fashion, if you like, at an angle for a very long while, and we all stood back for the sixth time, wondering why it wouldn't go straight. And I think George was listening up there, because suddenly, all on its own, we were back here, all on its own, that painting went, and it went straight. It was like a gift from God or a gift from George, right, up in the heavens. And he did, in fact, go straight after a youth and young man's time of gaiety. But George was everything. He was completely unshockable. That was part of his appeal. He could make an audience relax. You know, his name came on stage, always singing, I'm good time, George, going to have a good time. And he had this ability to make people just relax and laugh. And he could be very rude, and he could be very moving. All this great variety. And I think, I mean, how could one not respond? I'm sorry for you that you never saw him perform.
Probably not all my time, maybe.
Indeed.
I think I only ever saw him on interview programmes. I can't remember actually seeing him perform much. I just saw him being interviewed by Parkinson or various other people and being very entertaining in those interviews. But
he always cut through the crap, didn't he? Yeah, that was the point.
Yeah.
With him being such a character, did you ever find it difficult to portray him?
Every painting is difficult. If I'm painting a piece of cheese, it's difficult.
Quite a few, well, some of the paintings are painted after he died. Did you spend a lot of time with him? You spent a lot of time with him before he died. Sorry, it must be based from memory.
Since he died, actually. He hasn't posed for me since he died. Strange, you should.
But are they from sketches or from memory?
The point is that was painted, obviously, from life. The triple portrait from London, painted from the life, the National Portrait Gallery picture. There was a marvellous moment. They made a television programme and there was a woman looking at this painting, and the interviewer asked her what she thought of it. And she said, I can see that George Meredith singing in the middle. And he looks very serious in his robes in the bottom right-hand corner. I don't know who the woman is. Is that his wife? That, of course, is George in drag as Bessie Smith, his hero. Anyway, so that was painted from the life in 1998. Then those were the last works from life, which George posed for in my studio. And they're all reproduced in his last book, Slaying Down. As he posed, and I did all those drawings in one day of George. Drinking, fishing, singing, all those different things, right? And so those are the works from life in this show. That little one then was done from memory the last time he came to lunch with me, about 6 weeks before he died. That little one was done the next morning from memory. He was very much thinner then, with the cancer eating into him. Then that is from memory of the last time I saw him, the rolling around on the bed, talking about becoming Jesus. And the rest have all been done since he died. I mean, I have dreams of him. I certainly dreamt. You see the long painting at the end on the left, the Surrealist lecture. It was in a big the garden of a stately home, and all the highest layers of the art world were there. And suddenly everybody began to rush in the direction of this hedge, because George was going to give his Surrealist lecture. And in my dream, there he was actually in a wheelchair giving his Surrealist lecture, okay? But I didn't use the wheelchair in the dream. I thought it was a bit sad. I made him more like one of Velasquez's dwarfs. So that came directly from a dream. And I do have these dreams of him. The last time I dreamt of him was about 3 weeks ago, when I'd gone to see him, and I wasn't sure in the dream whether I was visiting him in heaven or whether he was still on earth. It was all a bit ambiguous, but it was a cinema. And instead of the front row of seats, there was a front row of beds. And George was plonk in the middle, with a screen right in front of him. And he was still round and jolly and very pleased to see me, and roaring with laughter, and say, "Oh, good to see you, Mac." I said, "Trust you to get in the middle of the front row, George." He said, "Oh, I would, wouldn't I?" And he was terribly happy, you know, still laughing and joking and all the rest of it, from the bed in the cinema.
Yeah. Am I right in saying that you've said that one part of completing one of your paintings is to capture a moment?
Very, very important. Exactly. That's a very good question. Because, I mean, if you look at that painting, that wave, that wave evening, which is crashing, dying, disappearing for George, you know, really, it's all his colours in that evening painting. I try in my sea paintings to capture that moment of the wave breaking. I try in any of these portraits to capture a moment. Because, you know, painting obviously can take a long while. It can take 3 months. You can work on it on and off for a year, whatever it is. But in the end, you have to bring all those moments and hours and days and months of work into one moment for a painting to be alive, right? And I'm particularly pleased with that large head, the good time George portrait, the big portrait of George. And it seems to me to have the movement of a wave going through it, and I'm particularly pleased with that. But it always has to be a moment, otherwise it isn't. It's not convincingly alive, do you know what I mean? I hate paintings that look as if they need the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme for diligence, do you know what I mean? They look as though they've taken 60 years, you know? I like a painting that looks like taking 6 seconds.
So you look for the breaking of a wave in every picture that you do?
Well, I think that, you know, the movement, you know, the mysterious movement of your face, the mysterious movement of a wave breaking. There's, you know, the mysteries of nature are part of what art is about. Everything nowadays is about demystification, you know, explaining art away, all the rest of it. You know, if I wanted to do all this in words, I would be a writer or a poet or something. And so this, you know, I think the magic of painting, if you do it right, is that oil paint can make something live in front of you, far more than photography. Photography is dead, as far as I'm concerned, because you take a photograph and is history, right? Whereas if you look at a late Titian or a Rembrandt or any great painting, oil paint can make you stand there in front of a painting and it is happening in front of you. And that is the magic, I think, of oil painting. And why a lot of art nowadays you need only see once, but you go back to a Rembrandt again and again and again throughout your life. And that's the magic and the mystery of oil painting that people try to explain away and never will.
Are there many...
That'll be 5 guineas.
are there many moments on the way to sort of finishing one? Is a painting ever finished?
Are you asking me how long they take?
No,
young
not
man?
At all. No, I'm just wondering, because if it's about capturing a moment, then what is
and
it?
And I said, you may spend many, many days, months, weeks, you touch a painting and then leave it on one side for 6 weeks or something, and then you make another month. I mean, that painting there, the George Always Won, I began in my studio in Suffolk. It came back with me to London. I worked on it a bit more, and then it sort of stood in the corner of the studio, and I suddenly did something else. You know, it's all a question of being in the right frame of mind to do it. Brancusi, the great sculptor, said it's not difficult to make a work of art. The difficulty lies in being in the right state to do it. Well, that's absolutely true. It's so easy to bugger up a painting. You know, paintings go through moments of being alive and dying, and being alive and dying, and being alive and dying, and it finally dies. You have to get rid of it, right? And quite often I spent 3 months on a painting and cut it up and then painted that painting again the next morning. So, you know, people ask you how long it takes. It's very difficult to say. That painting there, that George Always Too, I'd worked actually on a wave breaking for George on that very canvas for about 3 months with the letters of his name going through it, you know, spelling the name George, going through it. Never work, never work. In a fit of fury one Friday morning I went to the studio and painted that painting on top of the wave in about 3/4 of an hour. Okay? So there's no answer. And the blank canvas, a lot of the George Always painting, which is the first really of the ghost of George paintings, you know, the feeling of the ghost, and it's very important to me in this exhibition that he's obviously in one way, in a big way, he's absent because he's dead. But I'm trying to paint his presence, which goes on. So it's about absence and presence, you know? And that really was conceived several years ago, long before he died. No, at least two years before he died. I was standing in the Whitney Museum in New York, and I conceived of making a portrait of George that was simply George appearing as a white blank space in the painting, and everything very busy around him. And I thought to myself, I must wait until he dies to actually have a go at this painting. And so that was the first of the ghost paintings. I think I'm going to give it up, Stephen.
That's fantastic.